Thank you very much, Flame, for joining us today and helping us with the World's Draw Show. To break down these groups, though, it's time for us to hand it off to Jack, Kobe, and Azale for a live edition of The Dive.
Thank you very much, Dash and Freak. And hello, welcome to the live group draw reaction episode of The Dive. I'm Jack, joined by Kobe and Azale. I got a little nervous right there in the draw.
Group B.
Right when Group B had been drawn. It's so interesting. RNG and Genji, who formerly is Samsung, have now been in the same group 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. That was the group that TSM was in 2016. That was the group that G2 was in last year. And this year, that's Vitality's group. But how do they keep getting in the same group?
I don't know, but I do know that no one else gets out of that group when they
not
get
the last in 2 years.
I mean, yeah, as they were talking about, this has been the year of RNG, right? They've been title after title after title, and their next stop, you know, is the World Championship. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to go through to the defending champions in the group stage, you know, if they want to get that number one seed and have a better spot.
Yeah, we're going to get to the group stage discussion in a bit. First up, though, we had the play-in draw. Let's pull up that bracket to discuss that really quickly. As of last year, you have the Pool 1 seeds looking to dominate this with EDG, G2, C9, and G-Rex. Interestingly, last year, the LMS 3 seed didn't win their group. Yeah. So then they matched up against Fnatic in that case in the best of five to actually make it into the group stage. Other than that, though, the Pool 1 seeds did dominate. How do you guys look at it this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's really where I'm looking again is Group D, because I think that G-Rex is probably the only Pool 1 seed I see realistically getting knocked out or having a chance at that. I think, you know, you could look at Supermassive as well as being one of the stronger teams, you know, from some of these other regions that are in play-ins. And you know, it's a slumping G2 could perhaps have trouble with that, but I don't really see that coming to fruition.
Yeah, especially with G2 making the surge towards the end of the playoffs. I wouldn't necessarily, like, call them slumping anymore since they didn't make it into the regional qualifier.
Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty close to having Supermassive in Cloud9's group, which would have been GBM versus his old teammates, Licorice and Zazel. Who had played on E United, and they were talking about it leading up to it as well, but they don't have to, you know,
they might play for a spot in Worlds, you know, because in the knockout stage, they could
if they got out of that group. But it's also really cool because Gambit, I know a lot of their fans were upset last time about their hard road. Now, you know, they've got another chance, and this one looks like a pretty good setup.
Yeah, well, Gambit in the 2017 play-in failed to win a single game, but at the MSI play-in, they did very well in the group stage, only to play against the Flash Wolves, who, once Flash Wolves started going on a roll in the group stage, they're like, we're actually super strong. We should have had these other teams. So they have a good chance to prove themselves there if they can get the number one seed in the group. The thing that I always worry about in this play-in is there are three team groups, and the top two teams essentially get to go into the bracket stage where the one seed will play a randomly drawn two seed from another group. So if any of the, so to speak, major regions falter, you can get some really wonky crossplay stuff. So if, for instance, C9 or G2 finish second in their group, then there's a chance that C9 and G2 would play against each other to see who actually makes it into the group stage.
Or even run into EDG, you know, and that that is pretty terrifying as well. And I'm always really excited for the play-ins also because, like, obviously there's going to be some very good games, but also you look at the group draw, you know, for the main stage, and you look at those three teams, and your thoughts on how strong or how weak a group is can change pretty heavily based on that. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be looking at the TL group and saying, oh, that looks pretty good. But if you pop EDG in there and EDG is looking really strong, then that starts becoming a lot more scary, I think, for teams in that group. So a lot really does, I think, come down to how the teams are performing in play and where they're going to get slotted into those other groups.
Yeah, I think most of the groups are going to have their eyes on EDG specifically because they made such a good improvement towards playoffs and the regional qualifier.
Yeah.
That's going to be the kind of danger as far as, you know, when we get to the next stage. But again, if we do kind of, or at least I kind of expect G2, Cloud9 also to top their groups. So I don't expect there being any of these, you know, major region or whatever number twos getting drawn in. But, you know, interesting things can happen with changes in the tournament meta.
It's Worlds. You never know what's going to happen. First time of play-in, you're playing four group stage games, double round robin. But let's jump forward to the group stage. The play-in will start October 1st, 1 a.m. Pacific time. But we're talking about the group stage draw now. So Group A, Group B, Group C, Group D, Flash Wolves, Afrika Freaks, PVB. Let's start with that Group A, because that's what looks like could potentially be a fairly easy group for Flash Wolves, who had finally, I feel like, a good draw as a pool one. They seemingly usually have this pool one draw, and then you're never predicting them to get out of the groups. One interesting thing, though, is that with EDG being the LPL team, and LPL teams in B and D, there is a chance EDG goes here. Mm-hmm. What's actually more likely, though, is that EDG will swap over to Group C, since with just the way the draw works, if Group A isn't immediately EDG, EDG will have to slot into Group C. So there's a chance that I would say something like a G2, a C9, or a G-Rex, or one of the other emerging regions hops into that group.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it does look like a fairly good draw, obviously. Getting the Fungbu Buffalo, getting them in there for Flash Wolves, they're going to be feeling really good about that draw. But I also think Afrika is a really, really strong team. And I think Afrika is probably a team that I would favor actually above Flash Wolves. So,
sure.
You know, when you're looking at it from that perspective, if you then get EDG in there, or you then get, you know, a C9 or a G2 who are looking really on form, then that can become a scary group once again for Flash Wolves. Because I don't think that there are leaps and bounds above some of those top teams that are going to be in play in.
Yeah, my first reaction to this group was like watching Afrika Freaks. Keen is the guy who always stood out, probably my favorite top laner. And then you also mentioned the Vietnamese team. Their star is their top laner. And this guy, I went back and watched. I found the Vietnamese YouTube VOD of their finals. He has insane mechanics. He took Jace. He actually took Hextech Flash, and he had some very creative. Yeah, you're laughing now, he had some really good escapes with it. And I think if it's going to be different from a lot of the rest of the world's meta, where these are some of the very few teams that are going to have super hard carry top laners and maybe play more around top lane. So that might throw Flash Wolves through a loop, because Flash Wolves are still, you know, more bottom focus. And it might be a bit of a mismatch there.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, if you're a NA or EU viewer who mainly watches your domestic league and then the World Championship, this group is going to be a lot of new teams to you, right? Flash Wolves is the one that is at Worlds every year, so you're relatively familiar with them. But most people don't watch the LMS regular season. There's no English broadcast for this league, so there's not going to be too many people that know that. Afrika Freaks making their first Worlds appearance. They got in on championship points. They were second in the spring and third place in the summer with that incredibly close best of five they played against Griffin. I actually thought that was one of the best of fives all year, even though Griffin didn't end up making to the Worlds. I want to echo Kobe's sentiment about Keen. I think he's the best top laner in the world. Actually.
Really?
I think he's the best top laner in the world right now. He was the Korean representative on the Asia Games team. He leads the league in kills for top laners. They play through him frequently. He has some of the best laning stats of everyone.
Let's hope they match up with IG at some point in this tournament, so we can have him versus
That's
Shy.
What I was going to say, man. Like, I'm just such a the Shy fanboy. I think he's actually insane.
Yeah, we'll get to IG in a bit. I feel like even though the Shy has been amazing, the fact that they consistently spelled him with Duke, like even in the playoffs, he's not as good as he was in spring to me, right? But anyway, that's one statement there about Afrika Freaks. I think they are very strong, but the question is, how well will they adapt to the international stage, which is always a question whenever you have a first-time participant like this.
One thing I do think is going to kind of benefit them, though, is they're not a team that's afraid to try different things, right? You know, in the LCK playoffs, and, you know, they were a team that was willing to bring out Swain bot still when a lot of teams had stopped doing that. They've played Yasuo top. They've played Yasuo mid lane. They can play, like, a lot of different aggressive picks, and they are a team that is willing to like, experiment and to try new things. And I think that we've seen pretty consistently throughout the years at Worlds, the teams that are willing to kind of take a chance on new emerging strategies, new emerging champions are often the ones that are getting the advantage. You know, when I think back to last year, everyone playing hyper carries, Kog'Maw, things like this, when the Chinese teams brought out Caitlyn, when they figured out that answer and played Caitlyn Jace and start pushing all the turrets super fast, like that kind of took over, you know, in the world's meta. And I think this is a team that if something like that pops up, they're going to be having the confidence to actually kind of jump on it.
What do you think about Flash Wolves in general? Because every year it feels like if we say Flash Wolves is a top team, they fall out of groups. And if we say Flash Wolves actually isn't that strong because the LMS is really top heavy and they just do really well there, then they'll go 7-3 in group stage, mm-hmm. or they'll be the number one seed out of the group like they were in 2015 when they beat a Korean team twice to end up matching up against Origin in the quarterfinals. I know at MSI that Betty was a lot better than everyone expected. Going into that tournament, everyone talked about Prey, Reckless, Uzi, Doublelift as the AD carries to watch. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't even put Betty on the graphic at the start. And then he had probably the second best group stage of the AD carries, right behind Uzi, and then probably just a little bit ahead of Doublelift stats-wise. So I think that Betty gives them, now that he's gotten better, a pretty good chance as a good team. I agree that they're below a Freak of Freaks, but how do you feel like they're going to do just kind of in the general tournament?
I think they have a pretty good shot. I mean, especially coming off of their MSI performance, you know, getting in groups there was obviously solid. I think Hanabi was another guy who really kind of stood out to me at MSI as being, you know, a really strong carry player. Obviously, everyone's popping off about the Yasuo games, but, you know, this is a team that I do always find it hard to judge them because they're so far above their competition in the LMS. Like, they went undefeated in summer.
Yep.
They absolutely slammed in playoffs. Like, this is a team that's just so much better than the people that they're playing against that it's really tough to actually judge because the rest of the LMS is so much weaker than a lot of these teams that I think they are going to be having to face up against at Worlds. So they are really having to kind of kick it into a new gear. And I think, honestly, one of the things that works against Flash Wolves, like I feel like if Flash Wolves got put into the LCK or whatever, they would become a much stronger team because when you're playing against weaker competition, it sometimes reinforces bad habits, right? You're learning, oh, this is what works against this, but maybe it's because the team isn't actually like effectively punishing you for doing something incorrectly. I think that's one of the things that does kind of, you know, maybe kind of hurt them a little bit going into this international competition, but I do still think they're strong. I do still think that they should be a favorite to get out of the group. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I think it's really hard to say just because the teams they're playing against aren't on this level. So it's really hard to judge.
Yeah, I always do hear, though, that Flash Wolves do get scrims, mm-hmm. You know, with LPL and LCK teams at times.
I hear they practice a lot with LPL teams specifically.
They're supposed to be pseudo sister teams.
And I think that people really should give them more credit, especially this year. This is one of the most, you know, veteran teams. And our questions about, are they going to collapse without Karsa, were already answered, I feel like. You know, I felt like Mujin stepped up. Hanabi was very strong for them as well. So, and I don't think they, you know, had the as big of a drop off as people were thinking. Oh, we're, you know, losing Karsa as like one of the major things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they're going to have a very solid showing. I think that people can be actually pretty sure on them as far as a lot of the teams here, you know, have lots of new members, you know, there's rookies and all this stuff flying around. Flash Wolves, I feel like you do know what you're going to get. And they should be, you know, given more credit this time around.
Okay, so I think we're going to be in agreement that a Freak of Freaks is the favorite for the group.
Yep.
Flash Wolves is favorite for second. And PBB, while they could be very exciting because they're coming from Vietnam, most of the region plays an incredibly high-tempo style.
He was their league MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think they're big underdogs in this group, even after the play-in team is added in. But let's play a fun game here. Let's just say that C9 or G2 gets put into this group. If we're talking about Flash Wolves strength, do you still have them as the favored team for second place in the group?
I think so. I think yeah, we probably should, you know, looking at like, I don't think G2 has been as strong, you know, since they lost Venomithy overall. So to me, I think that was a pretty big hit to the team. I think that C9, while at their top end have looked very good, they got dismantled in the finals. I still think that they have a tremendous amount of inexperience. You know, you don't really know how those guys are going to perform on the world stage. You know, guys like Licorice and Blabber and Zazel, I still think, you know, there's some uncertainty about like what six should even be run. How is that going to affect the team, you know, as a whole, you know, when they're going up against this tough competition. So I think Flash Wolves should be favored, but I don't think it's by a lot. And I actually think that it's kind of funny, like when you add in that fourth team that, while I don't think PVB would get out of the group, I do think that a team like that can sometimes decide the group because it's who do they steal a game off of that, you know, that can kind of kick them down and make sure that that team is dragged out of the competition with them because, you know, this is formerly Young Generations, you know, another team from Vietnam and like we've seen what Gigabyte Marines can do. We've seen that Vietnam is getting stronger and stronger as a region and that there is a lot of talent there. So, you know, a team like that certainly could be the kind of disrupting factor.
And I feel like, again, this team, one of the biggest things is going to be, our team's ready to play around top lane, right? And put a lot of resources there, because he's been in, I forget which stream it was, but I was watching a Korean challenger and he was actually versus Keen.
Yeah.
He was, you know, mechanically outplaying him. So I was like, this guy is actually insane mechanics. Watching the VOD, like the macro and some a lot of the teleports.
It's a lot of fighting.
The teleports and the lane assignments were kind of hectic because there's so many kills and the pace of the games are so quick. But I really think that guy is going to put a lot of pressure on any top laner that he does face.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the interesting groups at Worlds. I don't think there's a non-interesting group at Worlds. Let's get on to Group B here, because that was the RNG, Genji, formerly Samsung,
a classic,
the defending world champions, third year in a row that they're in the same group. And this was the moment in the draw where TL still hadn't been drawn yet. 100 Thieves was already in Group D. So it's like, well, there's a really good chance that TL gets thrown in this group. And it ended up being Vitality.
Yeah.
So I apologize to Europe for that disappointment as well. Vitality, the number two seed from the EULCS. They get an off of championship points. They finished fourth in spring, third in summer, winning the best of five over Misfits in the third place game to kind of earn that spot. Initially, I think there's a lot of people that would say, like, just from the outside, oh, Vitality, are they similar to like 100 Thieves situation where there's a lot of people in the region that don't think they should go? The answer is no. Vitality did surge up to second place at the end of the regular season, winning a three-way tiebreaker to get the second seed. They were upset in the semifinals, but then bounced back in the third place match against Misfits. So it feels like they definitely deserve this. Big note on the Vitality season was Kikis coming in halfway through the split, essentially going on a huge run. Vettius voted him the MVP of the league, and a few other people.
They literally went 9-1 since he joined. They're in the regular season. They only dropped one game since he joined, and that was super cool because at the beginning, a lot of the talk was Jizuke, you know, and when he first started in spring, you know, on the rise and playing us a lot of big plays. But Kikis and the way that he joined the team and kind of led the jungle invades was cool to watch, right? Because then it was kind of Jizuke following him on these jungle invades and then playing this really aggressive early game style. So I think that, like, they'll make the games exciting, like you're talking about. It's a super stacked group to be put into, though. So, I mean, it's just ridiculously hard to fight through RNG and Genji, even though the entire summer wasn't that great for them. Their gauntlet run as well just re-inspires all the confidence, right? And this is
especially the finals against Kingston.
Yeah, and they made back-to-back finals. This is going to be possibly the third year where Samsung's going for finals. They could, you know, make it there every single one.
Group of death?
Yeah, I think so for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think immediately just with the first two teams, because the thing is, you know, I don't give Vitality much of a chance. But it's not like I would give any of these other, you know, teams that could have been slotted in there much of a chance either, right? Like, I think that it's pretty brutal group, and it's a group that has you know, a lot of experience. You have arguably the tournament favorite that a lot of people are saying RNG, you know, is favored to win this whole thing. They've been dominating internationally for a while. Genji obviously has a tremendous amount of experience. If you want to count them as formerly Samsung, this is potentially their third world championship that they could win. So certainly a ton of experience on these rosters, and they're extremely talented teams, right? So this is a huge ask for any team that could have been slotted into there. And I think, it's very unlikely that Vitality get out of that group, but if you do make it out, if you do pull that off, then all of a sudden, you know, you're dodging a lot of those teams, those toughest teams in quarters, and then maybe you get a more favorable quarterfinal matchup, and maybe some magic happens.
Man, like when you say that, RNG, many people's favorites for the World Championship, I think, along with KT, and then you look at every single Pool 2 team that could possibly be with RNG, you would have to say Genji or Freak of Freaks are the hardest one, right? So of the two hardest ones that would get pulled in, it's the Korean team. That immediately happens. And then it's, like you say, any third team that gets pulled in there is immediately an underdog. This group could still get more death-like. C9 could get drawn into this group as well.
Yeah. I mean, what specifically, though, about the matchups, like, what do you think is going to happen here? Because Genji are one of these teams. There's a bunch of teams that are coming to this world who have used multiple subs.
Yeah.
And once you have to whittle it down, do you go with ambition to have, you know, jungle, double jungles are always super valuable because the other jungle can watch the routes, come in with a fresh perspective. Also unpredictable from the enemy jungler, you know, trying to find out patterns. And ambition has a lot of leadership, but then also, you know, crown versus fly.
My immediate assumption, and I think it's kind of similar to what I think is going to happen with C9, is that most pros I talk to, most coaches I've talked to, favor having double jungle. They feel like that is the more valuable, you know, kind of style to run. And despite the fact that Fly actually played significantly, you know, he played more than Crown did throughout the regular season, Crown was the guy that they were using mostly in the playoff run.
Yep.
He was the guy that they used exclusively in the Gauntlet Finals. That to me was
the guy who they won with.
Yeah. So that to me like was the decision, and that sucks for Fly because Fly I think had a good year, and I think that, you know, he, as I said, he played more than Crown did, but I think that already kind of showed what's going to happen. I don't think you leave Ambition at home. I don't think you leave Haru at home after the run they had in Gauntlet, because I actually thought that Haru was one of the biggest difference makers. Some of his plays were insane. Like the predictive, he predicted a flash with a Gragas barrel, throws it where the Caitlyn's going to flash, knocks it back in. His Lee Sin kick.
He played one Lee Sin game, instantly banned against him next game.
I mean, it was insane. He like cues to the Sion, Warthog kick flashes, Jhin that's a whole screen away from him into the team, automatically wins the fight. Like he was making some sick plays. So I feel like you want to have that jungle option.
Yeah. I mean, I love it when we see people drawing Lee Sin bans already leading up to Worlds, because I've seen so many of these kind of legacy Lee Sin players kind of return to that champion. Mm-hmm. That diverts from the point that I set up in the beginning, though, because my same question that I had for GEMG works for RNG, and I feel bad for Abel because I feel like, you know, if you're the guy who's subbing in for Uzi, then you're going to be the one that's left out also. I mean, RNG have plentiful subs as well.
RNG has like an 8-man roster. So, you got Letmi and Zatai in the top lane. You got Carson, MLXG, you got Uzi and Abel.
And once again, I think it is going to be the double jungle because like they did kind of at MSI and these tournaments, they've kind of tried to like save Karsa a little bit for later, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Maybe use MLXG earlier on in best of ones where, you know, surprise factor is able to pull off, and then have Karsa for best of fives.
It worked at MSI, right? Like, I feel like they're probably going to stick with it.
Yeah, I know, but it just feels so bad for all these subs, because each one of these teams, you're like, ah, you know, well, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, Karsa seems to be the guy they put in the high-pressure situations. Talking about the matchup, just RNG versus Gen.G, right? Who's going to win the group is always a big question. In 2016, it was Samsung. In 2017, it was RNG who 2-0'd them, but it was ultimately Samsung who ended up being the world champion. This year, Gen.G definitely comes in looking a lot weaker. They're actually fifth place spring, fifth place summer, but then ran the gauntlet as they seemingly always do in Korea. Mm-hmm. 3-2 over SKT, 3-2 over Griffin, who most people expected to make it to Worlds either by winning the final or by winning the gauntlet. I almost want to make like a sub podcast to RIP Griffin because I feel like they were so good.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest tragedies. They're not going
to
be at Worlds.
I mean, Tarzan and Viper, I really wanted to see them. Yeah. Those two specifically play so much, but
then they 3-0'd Kingzone to make it here. So they deserve it. They ran the gauntlet. They are the third best team from Korea as of this moment. They're the defending world champions, which is always nice.
So while I think, you know, a lot of people are like, when you look at like the last series they played, they slammed Kingzone, and you want to be like, yeah, Gen.G's back, right? Like they got slammed by Afrika in playoffs. Like they got absolutely demolished. And I do think that one of the reasons I kind of favor RNG, you know, in this group over Gen.G is the fact that they looked somewhat inconsistent even within the series. When you look at their SKT series, when you look at their Griffin series, it felt like when they lose so hard. It didn't feel like they had the ability to play from behind very well, that there was a lot of stomps. And they were, to their credit, very good at snowballing victories when they got ahead. But, like, it was so back and forth that I feel like you have to be like almost like a more stable team. You have to be able to play somewhat from a deficit and give yourself those shots to like drag out a game to late and try to come back in it. And it didn't feel like they were really able to do that in some of these series where I felt like that was one of their biggest strengths last year. And I feel like it's going to be tough. Like RNG has such strong laning that if you get behind and if you can't come back from that, that's...
Yeah, on top of that, RNG, when they've been behind, you know, several thousand gold, there's so many games where they still win one team fight around mid lane, push in, take almost half the base, and then the game is done a couple of minutes later. It just feels so hard to be able to finish against RNG.
Right.
You know, even so many of these teams have been able to get a lead versus them and not been able to pull it off. I mean, the finals versus IG was insane. Like the game five, you know, the two inhibitors available, and you feel like it's so close, but...
Yeah, you
just kind of have to give it over to RNG.
I favor RNG. I mean, they come in as the more recent international tournament champions, MSI champions. They've won two splits in the LPL in a row. They're, in my opinion, the best team fighting team in the world.
Yeah.
Thinking about the way they play, Xiaohu is a guy who in previous years we had as top five, top 10 player in the world, and he actually takes a back seat to Uzi and does it really well. He pretty much plays exclusively pushing mid laners. When they're really tryharding, Letmi is often one of the best tank players in the world. Uzi and Ming, best duo lane in the world. I don't think the meta is in a place where that's not a good strategy. It's always possible that, you know, we could be in a meta where, oh, it's Lethality, Varus, and Jhin. It's like, well, then RNG wouldn't be good. But we have pretty strong AD carries in the meta right now. Kai'Sa still exists. There were Vayne buffs before Worlds. You're going to be able to play late game dominant AD carries and get by. Or you can play lane dominant AD carries and still do well with all the support bans that you see to control the lane. So I do favor RNG, but I wouldn't count out Genji. I think especially when you're playing double round robin, best of ones, very foreseeable that Genji clutches it out. Because while I agree with you that they didn't look great in a lot of the regular season, they actually haven't won an LCK split, but they keep making it to the world final. So this team finds a way to hit a different gear when it comes to the world championship.
Jailing.
Yeah, I mean, they kept talking about it on the cast too during the gauntlet run about specifically Cuve and his, you know, the playoff buff or gauntlet buff or, you know, whenever World starts coming around.
He's
and
super good.
During the regular season, they're like, ah, okay, why were we ever getting so excited? And then in the gauntlet, boom, oh yeah, this is why. And his Aatrox is coming in super hot, making big plays. So I'm always super excited to see them back on it too because – in those games, Ruler also really got me excited once again. He had this play where I had not seen this very often, but Rakan engage. Gorilla kept trying to get the super fast ultimate flash W onto him, and he would just Varus ult him, stand there, and stop the Rakan like inches in front of his face, like just completely standard play for him or something, and nailed it multiple times in a row. So I started to get re-excited for Samsung, for our Genji.
Ruler is super good.
Yeah.
Like, don't forget about that. Like, there's very, very good AD carries in the world. He is in a group with Uzi, which makes it impossible to rank him as the best. But he is extremely good as an AD carry.
I think he is extremely good, but I also think Uzi is better. And I think RNG plays around Uzi better than Genji plays around Ruler, right? And that's why I feel like it has to be more of there has to be kind of some sort of a difference maker. And to me, that's where I look at jungle. That's where I look at top. You know, if you have a game where it's Cuve like dominating top lane, you know, playing carry pick, really taking over these sort of things, or, you know, Haru is able to make really big plays or Ambition is really invading and getting ahead in that regard, then I think you can really kind of disrupt what RNG is trying to do and maybe take over a game. But it feels hard to like try to play a bot lane centric game against RNG and win that because they're just so good at it. Like, not only do they have the best dual lane, I think they play around their dual lane the best.
Okay, so I think we're mostly going to say RNG favorite in the group, Genji second, but I would then like to say, you know, since we've clearly done all the prep we're ever going to need to do, I'm going to watch a lot more VODs after this draw since we have still like 2 weeks until group stage, but what's your percentage chance that RNG is first? Right.
I give it. I mean, I think it's significant, 60-40, something like that. But like, you know, it's not unforeseeable.
60-40 is not that.
No, but I mean, it's, you know, it's about 2/3, right? Like, or 66-33, whatever you want to say. Like, I'll give it around that, like, which is a significant edge above Samsung. But Samsung is within striking distance, and also you can't take it for granted how well they have performed at Worlds specifically, as you said, you know, not winning splits, but really turning it on, even last year. We weren't super excited about them, you know, I think coming into the tournament compared to how they performed at the tournament. So,
yeah, I mean, I might even give it a little bit more than that. But yeah, I think most people will be in agreement for this group.
I'd go 70% RNG wins. But I'd also put like
you can give Vitality 1% or half a percent.
Hold on, exactly. Or... I'm gonna say 5% that one of these two doesn't make it out of groups.
Okay.
Because you can still have a C9 drawn in there. They seemingly always find a way to make it out of groups, even if they get put in the group of death.
But
Kobe.
SKT isn't at Worlds, so how does C9 get out of groups?
Yeah, they're always in SKT's group. Well, they can go into a different defending champions group in Gen G and find. Man, wouldn't that be? That would be the wildest storyline if Gen G and C9 made it out of the group with RNG.
Yeah, yeah.
That is extremely unlikely.
Yeah.
Any more fun facts about teams in this group before we move on to Group C?
No, we spent a lot of time on this.
Yeah. Vitality is the best early game team in Europe. I'm just going to throw that out there by the numbers, but they're also
good luck, Vitality.
Team. Yeah. Group C. This one is super fun. KT Rollster, Mad Team, the number two team from the LMS, Team Liquid, and TBD. Very likely to be EDG though.
Yeah. Or G2.
Yes, yeah. But more likely to be EDG since there is no LPL team in Group A. Mm-hmm. So if EDG doesn't immediately get drawn in there, that means they go in Group C.
Yeah.
So I put it a 75% chance to get EDG in this group.
Which I think makes it a pretty tough group, right? Because the thing is, it's like while EDG did end up the third seed and they had kind of a rougher summer split than they normally do. Their regular season wasn't as strong. They really did start to turn it on a lot more towards the end in playoffs, in the gauntlet. Like, they looked a lot stronger. And I think that an EDG that is continuously improving and that is, playing at their kind of top end is going to make it a very, very difficult group.
And I think them specifically versus Team Liquid would be an interesting matchup because EDG started to play more around bottom lane, more early game.
Yep.
So if you have Ray on a tank versus Impact up on a tank, it's kind of back to when Ray was in North American LCS.
Yeah, Sword and Shield bash into each other.
Yeah, and then it's two teams that are trying to play carry from the bottom side. But I think that EDG would probably have more action early. And so that seeing if Team Liquid can keep enough vision to see it coming or react to it. Otherwise, KT in this group is the one that everyone's going to point to. Obviously, they play extremely lane dominant, and they're probably still going to have the edge, even if EDG does get put in here.
Who wins in a fight, a sword or a shield? I think the shield just wins. Right? Because shields can also be used as bludgeoning objects.
You just have a shield and the guy just has a sword? I take the guy with a sword.
Yeah.
For like 100%.
What?
The guy with the sword.
Just bash it with the shield.
Yeah, realize. Okay. Well, we're not going to get into this, but yeah.
Someone who's an expert in like medieval warfare is going to tell us.
So you can hit people with a shield and use that as a weapon. You can also block with your sword. But the sword is sharp, so you can actually get cut.
Shields are sharp, too, like the edges and stuff.
Smashing people on there. Yeah. If you have a shield that's got a giant spike on it.
A sword on the shield. Sorry, when you said that, I thought, what would happen if a sword actually fought a shield?
Early morning thoughts here with Jack.
Yeah, KT in this group, do you guys agree with this? I think KT is the best team at the World Championship. At the World Championship.
I think
they should be favored slightly above RNG. When you look at player for player across every single role, it doesn't look to me like KT has any weak spots.
You are way too excited about KT, actually.
Okay, I think
no weak spots?
Who's the weak spot?
Just like as a team, you think they have no weaknesses?
I think when you compare them to other teams, they have a top two or top three in every position, which no other team at the World Championship can say. I think it's really close between KT and RNG, but I actually think KT should be the favorites coming in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me is I always feel like when you looked individually at KT, you're like, yeah, these guys are so good. They're the best. Mm-hmm. But why didn't they succeed in the past, right? And I think that's always kind of one of the questions is that sometimes like having the best individual pieces doesn't make the best whole.
LCK champs now, man.
They are. And it'll be very interesting to see how they're going to actually be able to perform. Like, it always feels bad to say this because, it's kind of like maybe taking away from their win a little bit. But I did feel like a lot of those wins were kind of in Griffin's hands in the finals. I felt like Griffin, if you play that series a couple times, I feel like Griffin wins it more often, and then Griffin didn't even make it, which is kind of weird to say. But it felt like Griffin fell prey to nerves. So I don't come away from that thinking that KT is like unbeatable and unassailable. I think that they're very, very strong. But I think it's pretty even between RNG and them. Just because RNG has done so well over the last year, I feel like I give them a slight edge.
One interesting thing about this World Championship is I don't think there is an unassailable perfect team.
Yeah.
But Kobe?
Yeah, we've moved on from that point. I mean, the reign of SKT was... This has been long dead now, and we haven't really had a replacement.
Yeah, and then when the team that beat SKT like squeaks in through the regional qualifier, there's no super dominant team.
Maybe it's RNG. If they win Worlds, I think, you know, RNG becomes somewhat of that super dominant team.
They've built a good resume this year so far.
Yep.
But you really need that crowning jewel at the end to make a real statement.
Yeah. Talking about Mad Team as well, the number two seed from the LMS. LMS is always what we look at as a... top heavy region, we keep saying that. This team actually made a bit of a surge down the stretch. They were the third place team in the spring, even though they were 6-8 in the regular season. Then in the summer, they had a pretty big improvement, went 10-4, but were swept by Flash Wolves in the final. So I put this team significantly below the Flash Wolves. And even though Flash Wolves has made inconsistent amounts of noise at World Championships, it's been a fairly consistent thing that LMS2 or LMS3 has not done that well. So I definitely put this team fairly significantly behind Team Liquid when I'm power ranking the three teams already in this group, with KT kind of alone at the top, Team Liquid kind of in the middle, and then I think MAD pretty far towards the bottom as far as pool two teams that could be in this group.
Yeah,
probably the second best option for TL.
I feel like they're going to be the like ranked the lowest team in the group, no matter who slots in, because it's going to be G2 or EDG. And I think I would put both of those teams, you know, a significant mark above them as well. So I do think that, you know, as far as looking at it from that perspective, it's, you know, it's a good draw for TL. It's a good draw for KT to not have, you know, that additional team that should be able to kind of challenge on that level. But I do think that it feels like a one horse race for first place. I think that TL, it does not match up that well against, you know, a lot of these teams that are just kind of so strong, because TL plays like a very, very standard style, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at TL, I kind of am like, well, you're kind of doing what RNG is doing, but just kind of worse, right? And that makes it really tough. I think if you're not going to throw a curveball at a team like KT, I think KT is just too strong, too well-rounded. Like individually, as you say, they have some of the best players in every single role. So I think that becomes very, very tough for TL unless they can find some other way to mix things up, whether it's advantages you can get in pick and ban, you know, strategies that they can discover that can give them an advantage. But if you just play standard, if you play the same picks, I think that you have to give like heavy favorites to KT.
Yeah, back to Mad Team though, because a lot of people won't know, you know, much about this team.
Yep.
Again, LMS is a top heavy team, and people are just used to tuning in at the international competitions and seeing Flash Wolves, right? Or AHQ. But this team is actually kind of born out of the AHQ Challenger team. Their top three players, the top three of the map, I mean, are from that team. And then they added in the bottom lane duo free signing. And those guys have played together for a long time, and they played around the bottom lane a lot. That's why I think you're going to say this about most teams, the majority of the teams at the World Championship coming in, right? Bottom lane focus. There aren't a lot of, you know, top lane focus teams here. There are some, and that's why it made
Group A
more unique to me. But again, this is another team that is going to be, you know, kind of focused on that. And I agree that, it's going to be difficult for them, but I think it's going to be cool to see a lot of these guys getting their chance on the world stage, you know, to try and prove themselves, because they have made such a, you know, big difference.
And I think, again, you know, similar to what kind of what I talked about in Group A with PVB, you know, if you pull in an EDG or whatever into this group and it becomes like a very tough group, anyone who then drops a game to G-Rex, you are probably
MAD.
That's a MAD.
Yeah.
You are probably not getting out of the group, right? Like, just that one game can really knock you out. So, you know, you have to be so consistent, and it is best of ones. So, you know, dropping even one game can mean the difference.
Exactly. I mean, we saw TL at MSI dropping a game to EVOS, right?
And EVOS. Then you lose on a tiebreaker.
Yep, Vietnamese team. I'm excited, just switching up a little bit, to see Score in this group.
Mm-hmm.
Every jungler I talk to in NA and EU, I'm like, hey, who's the best jungler? It's almost unanimously score, even
really?
Though the dude hasn't shown up to Worlds.
You're not getting any Tarzan in there. I've even heard Karsa.
Okay, so Tarzan was getting definitely some of the hype in the summer.
You're pretty
split.
Much on the score hype train, though, aren't you?
I've been on the score hype train for a couple years.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kobe, you're a huge score guy. I feel like anytime we ever talk about jungler, you're like, score, though.
I think I had score as...
But I just want the other junglers to get fair representation.
Like, Kobe 24. Why is no one talking about him?
Yeah, I mean, I always try and make the world's top 20 players at Worlds list prior to all the teams qualifying, and then kind of pare down from there. And when KT didn't qualify last year, I had to delete, like, four players from the list. Mm. And score was... the highest one on KT Rolster. I don't necessarily think that much has changed. His pathing has been so consistent. Mm-hmm. He was an AD carry early on in his career. That skill still transfers over mechanically when he plays stuff like Kindred. He's matched up with now, I think, Yukal in the mid lane, the young gun, so to speak, taking over for Pawn, who was the weakness for that team, I think, in the past, did kind of take that team to a new level. And I love watching Score playing with so many different tools.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of playmakers in the jungle right now.
I think he's just such a smart jungler. And I think that's the biggest reason that people credit him so heavily. Like, he seems to know how to play from every situation extremely well. You know, it's something that people credit, you know, Smithy with sometimes, but I think Score is just better at it. Right. It's something like if you give him a lead, if he gets ahead at all, he's taking your camps over and over and over. He's warding up your jungle. He's always in your face. If he's behind, he knows how to kind of intuit where you're going to be on the map and be somewhere else and farm and catch up or make a play somewhere. Like, he just always feels like he's at the right place, which I think is like, that's kind of the pinnacle of jungling, mm-hmm. right? Like, jungling is time management. It's investing your time as a resource into, okay, am I going to farm a camp or am I going to counter gank? And Score just seems to do that better than pretty much everyone else, which I think is what's so impressive about him.
Yeah, and they like to play strong lanes a lot mm-hmm. to really enable him and go for a lot of those, you know, earlier aggressive plays to put the enemy jungler off of their path and off of their normal game. So that will be fun to watch, especially in this group. But I also, as soon as I saw Team Liquid put in here with KT, I was like, yes, we get a rematch. Deft and Mata versus Doublelift.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite interviews of all time was Doublelift. What was it? Was it 2016?
I think it was 16, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been Uzi Mata.
Right? Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Uzi yeah. Mata.
But it's still the Doublelift versus Mata.
It was specifically, he was like, Mata, he's just so crazy. Like, there, no one else would have gone, you know, for this Alistar initiation mm-hmm. onto me. That's the only reason why it worked. Yeah. Is after Mata, like, trashed him super hard. It, like, perfectly engages, like, five times over in the same game.
And he was getting a lot of flack for not flashing any of them. And this was his response.
And he was like, well, this Mata guy, he's just, like, crazy. Why is he going for, you know, all these plays? Mm-hmm. So I want to see this matchup again because they've both had time. They both have new partners that they're playing with.
Yeah.
And this time around, Doublelift could be like, I know what's coming here, Mata.
I mean, it's going to be a good indicator of how far Team Liquid could realistically go, right? When he's up against that quality of a bottom lane, mm-hmm. when Team Liquid is a team that has to win with their bottom lane doing well, if they lose against this, then you're like, okay, what's their ceiling? Quarterfinals, maybe not even in the group stage. If you're talking about like an Iboy and Mako coming into this as well, they'd have to be able to match up against them if they're up against EDG. It's going to be really interesting.
It really is. And one thing that's interesting is, like, you know, you're talking about they have to win through bottom lane, and I agree with that. But I think when I think about MSI and why they failed there, I think more about mid lane and how Polebelter kind of wasn't able to often hold up his end of the bargain in some of this, right? It's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, if you want to play through bottom lane, the rest of the map has to hold up and has to survive until your marksman is strong enough where you can teamfight and you can win, right? And mm-hmm. and Polebelter, I think, wasn't able to do that in a lot of the games at MSI. And I think once they swapped over to Malzahar and once they were playing more these kind of, like, you know, safe mids where it wasn't about him outplaying in the 1v1, I think they did better. But I do have a lot of questions about how TL is going to play, like what style they're going to try to employ. Are they going to have him, all right, you're on Malzahar, Morgana, Galio, and Zilean, right? Like, or are they going to say, all right, let's get it. Like, it's a Zoe, great. You want to play Yasuo or Aurelia into it? Go for it, right? Like, that I think will kind of decide a lot of how they look in this tournament and how he can perform. And while I think Yukal is really, really good, I don't think that UCal and I'm forgetting the mid laner for MAD, but like I don't think that these are the toughest mids that they could have gotten in the tournament. I think that a lot of the LPL mids are absolutely insane, and I think that some of the other mids can be more dominant than UCal. So as far as that goes, maybe that's a positive for TL.
I liked Paul Belter's interview after they won finals, and he spoke a little bit about the previous experience mm-hmm. in international competition and everyone, all the community kind of focusing on him and, mm-hmm. and that really affecting his play and his confidence. Mm-hmm. And all of the Team Liquid members have been very outspoken about how good their sports psychologists have been mm-hmm. And their coaching staff at helping them kind of regain confidence in themselves and have that mentality of going in, not defaulting to defensive play or only mouths hard and stuff like that. So I am super curious to see how they do take that matchup, because that has been one of the biggest things for Team Liquid at international competition, right? We just had at MSI, Ole, and he also talked about him as well, making big progress as far as his mm-hmm. self-confidence and, the big self-benching thing. So this is really the time for a lot of the members there to, play strong and, prove that they have made pretty big changes.
Yeah. In answer to your what do I think they'll do with Paul Belter question, I think they're going to try and approach it like they did the finals against C9, where I thought they put a pretty high priority into getting a better jungle mid 2v2 mm-hmm. than the opponent. And in that, they almost deprioritized double if Selena's because they were getting Kai'Sa every time, so they knew he'd turn online late game no matter what. I think that's probably the better play for TL. Their in-game style is around bottom lane, but their draft is around jungle mid duo, if that makes sense. Obviously, against KT, you're kind of picking your poison.
Yeah.
But I think against the other teams in their group, that's probably what they should do.
It'll be really interesting, because I think it is tough, right? It's one of those things. Do you try to draft? And for all, this goes for all the teams in mm-hmm. the tournament. Do you draft to cover weaknesses, or do you draft to emphasize strengths, right? Mm-hmm. Because while I do think, Doublelift can get away with drafting Kai'Sa and playing against, Sneaky and Zazel, and maybe, even if without a lot of priority there, maybe he can be okay against them. But if you get EDG in there, I don't know that you can actually, hold up in the same way against iBoy. I don't know that mm-hmm. you can do the same thing against Deft and Mata. Well, I'm pretty certain you probably can't, right? Like, if they get lane advantage picks, then I don't know that TL would hold up in that regard. So that's going to answer a lot of questions. And I think that there's like a lot to prove for TL as a whole and for all the individuals. Doublelift, while he's regarded so highly in North America, he's never really had that world success. Smithy has never done as well as he had wanted at Worlds. Impact, there's a lot of criticism to his carry play. Like, for all these guys, there's those questions. Ole, self-benching, Paul Belter and his MSI performance. But that's true for a lot of these players. So
at least heading into it, Doublelift does have the super strong individual
MSI
performance at
really
MSI
good.
In international competition. I know he said that was big for him as well. Mm-hmm. To prove to himself that he can be extremely good on the international stage. Mm-hmm. I was going to follow that up, though, because it was an interesting point about the jungle mid duos. The MAD team's jungler got the All-Pro Award, mm-hmm. Which, you're used to just having Flash Wolves at the yep. top and getting everything. But their jungler also very strong and does play a lot around bottom side.
Yeah.
So don't, count this team out.
Yep.
Everyone's like, it's LMS and it's not Flash Wolves or whatever. I can definitely see them in group stages, surprising people, especially for bottom side and taking games.
Yeah, going to be fun to watch TL. I hope they do well. If it's EDG in the group, I wouldn't favor them to make it out of the group, and I would be pleasantly surprised if they did. However, if it's not EDG in this group, I think TL should be able to make it out. KT, very clearly a favorite for me in this group.
Yeah.
You guys pretty much on the same page?
Yep.
You got anything different?
Totally.
Sweet. Group D of Worlds so far. We got Fnatic. 100 Thieves got drawn into this, but so did Invictus Gaming. Let's start with IG for this one, because they went 18-1 actually in both regular splits, spring and summer. However, they lost in the semifinals to RNG in spring, 3-2. And they lost to RNG in the finals in summer, 3-2, but made it in points. Rookie, the LPL MVP. But what do you want to talk about to start with IG?
IG has so much stuff that I'm excited about. For me, I like I immediately go to the Shy though, because I just think that this guy is so insane. He plays so many different champions. A lot of the LPL top laners do have that, but the Shy, it feels like it's one of the only teams, like we were talking about this, Kobe, you know, how many teams actually play through top? I think IG is one of the teams that can. And the Shy had played 16 unique champions in summer alone. Like, he can basically play everything. He's a solo queue monster. He's mechanically so good. So, like, and they are very heavily willing to prioritize red side and counter picks and playing through that. So I think that they're a very scary team because they can give you a different look. But also having MVP in the mid lane, like, I think Rookie, we were talking about this, chat. Like, I think he's the best Zoe I've seen in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he has pulled off some pretty incredible stuff. And I think while IG certainly did lose to RNG, that was very close as well. It was extremely close. And I don't think that they're far below RNG at all. I think they are certainly a team that I would put, just off the top of my head, probably top three, top four in this tournament. So I think that they're really strong.
They almost never lose to anyone but RNG.
Yeah,
that's how dominating it is. Again, on top of it though, this is such an exciting team because this is one of the, you know, top teams where if you also look at the stats, they have highest kills per minute, combined kills per minute for their games, with shortest game times. They have so much early focus, so much on dominating lanes and winning your lane and then actually winning the game. There always seems to be this disconnect where people are like, oh yeah, they're just this early game, you know, trying to have strong, you know, lanes, and then they kind of fumble the mid game or whatever. Yeah. ID just ends it so quickly off of, like, you'll see them pushing tier two, tier three turrets after getting only a few kills.
Yeah. So 0.92 combined kills per minute, which is the highest combined kills per minute in the LPL. It's also the highest combined kills per minute that anyone has had in the LPL for the past couple years. So they play faster than the Chinese aggression meme that happened a couple years ago. and it is often through just picking three winning lanes and an invading jungler, and they often just fall into victory that way because Rookie is so dominant.
I feel like they run into it. I don't know about falling
charge,
into it.
Yeah, sorry, charge into victory. But Rookie is so dominant in the mid lane, sometimes having a double-digit CSD average throughout most of the season. The Shy does similar things in the top lane, especially when he gets his hands on Camille playing carries. Ning, the jungler, has the most jungle kills in the LPL. Also the most jungle deaths in the LPL.
He's so making stuff happen.
There's a lot of controversy around how good Ning really is because all his lanes smash, but he also plays super up-tempo and is the one who always has to die in teamfights. If you think about it, carry top lane or Rookie in the mid lane. Super aggressive pushing bottom lane with Jackie Love as well. The Prodigy, who, you know, isn't actually better than Uzi, but is still really good. And they just do that against every single team to win. But as you mentioned, they always lose seemingly to RNG. So when the game does slow down, since they smash everyone so often, there are questions of how well they can play slow.
Well, specifically for this group, they are going to be playing against 100 Thieves, who is a very slow team, and is going to have, like, it's such a hard matchup just to begin with because of how strong IG have been. But then you have also the big difference in styles. Mm-hmm. And I want to see if 100 Thieves are going to try and draft to compensate for this super early game and actually, you know, play for skirmishes and fight over the early vision with them, or if they'll try and actually draft for a late game and say that they're going to take an early deficit and try and come out on top later, you know, in one of those team fights. 20 something minutes into the game, try and push it to that point.
I think if they do that, there's no way they make it to the 20 something minute team fight against IG.
But you think if they do draft early game and they do, you know, try and plan early routes,
I think it's doomed against IG.
You think there's just no way?
Yeah, I think.
Well, come on, you gotta. You can't just say there's no way. Okay, what is the possible?
Most possible way is playing to their strengths and playing for a later game style and trying to, yes, they're probably going to get a bit behind, but if you can hold that deficit and not allow it to explode, then hey, I think that their macro play is very good late game, and I think that they can team fight fairly well late game. So I think that's probably their most likely path to victory, but most likely to me against IG is like 5 or 10% chance that they're winning those games. I think it's really low for 400 Thieves against IG. Yeah. I think stylistically it's really hard for them because they usually fall behind, even in most of their NA games, against teams that are so much worse at playing this early game style. Like the LPL in general was, you know, when everyone was talking about blue side being super OP, they had a higher win rate on red side. And they were playing that style with counter picks and lane dominance better than I think anyone else in the world. And I think IG is the best of all of those teams at doing that style too. So I think it's an exceptionally hard matchup, 400 Thieves.
All right, what about this then? We got Caps versus Rookie.
That is
Rookie, a lot of people say best mid laner in the entire world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Caps, best mid laner in Europe.
MVP of Europe.
Coming for that title.
We got a lot of MVPs. This is
like a just mega mid lane matchup here.
I can't wait to watch Caps against Rookie with all the hype that comes out from Caps, and especially whenever I talk about DeFisho talking about this guy. But also, Fnatic actually has a lower average game time than IG. Mm-hmm. They're under 30 minutes for the regular season. So these are two extremely fast playing teams. I do wonder if Fnatic slows down when Reckless is in the lineup compared to Bwipo in the bottom lane when they're playing a different style. But Fnatic, super aggressive as well.
Yeah, and especially since Reckless does traditionally like to play a lot of the super scaling AD carries.
Divert.
So it's not even like it would probably be an early game AD carry, even if they did, you know, do a marksman. Of course, they're definitely going to have Bwipo there as well for possible changes, whether it is top or bottom or whatever. But the bottom lane mages have really fallen out of style. I mean, we do still see Swain, but he's kind of the main.
Yeah, I think if they play Bwipo, it'll be to spell Soaz in top lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think too, because my problem with it is, so I still think it can work. Like, when Afrika like has the same player playing a marksman or a Swain, then you can't really necessarily like preempt that in draft. If you bring in Bwipo now and you have Bwipo Soaz, you're like, okay, well, they're going to play something wacky bot. If we think Swain is the only one that's actually good, well, you ban Swain, right? Like, and then that's not really a big issue. And we've seen Fnatic try more recently some things. Like, we were watching the Galio game, and that was pretty tragic, playing the Galio Alistar bot lane. I believe that was against Vitality, if I'm recalling correctly. But, you know, I think it gets harder to use Bwipo in that bot lane role, which does kind of take away one of their advantages. But, I mean, Reckless is an incredible marksman player, and I think that that'll be a very exciting matchup in the bottom lane as well, because I also think that is pretty differing in styles. You know, he likes to play the late game stuff. Jackie Love's most played is Lucian. He actually played 15 Lucian games in summer, and then he plays a lot of Varus as well. So he plays a ton of lane dominant style. It's not that he can't play other things also, and admittedly his Lucian games were mostly earlier in the summer split, but I do think that there's very diverging styles amongst all the players, and I give Fnatic a much better chance than I do 100 Thieves, I think.
Oh yeah,
especially because you have Caps in the mid lane. Like, that guy is such a difference maker, and we've seen that he can match up against the very best mids in the world at MSI. You know, he was playing incredibly well, and I felt like you know, MSI for Caps was kind of his coming out to the world and showing that he really is a top tier international mid, not just within Europe. He's one of the best in the whole world, and I think this is another opportunity for him to kind of prove that once again, and maybe even challenge for the title of perhaps, you know, one of the best, if not the best mid in the world.
I think that this is actually a pretty good group for Fnatic, all things considered. I think they match up favorably with 100 Thieves because of the early game. I think the regions in their group are actually favorable for them. The fact that it's NA, EU, and LPL already in this group, that means G2, C9, EDG can't get drawn in there from the play-in. So this will most likely be what is perceived to be the weakest play-in team that comes in. Whether it would be G-Rex or one of the emerging regions if they pull off an upset. So that puts Fnatic pretty solidly as the number two in this group based on projections. I have a way too early power ranking that I would never reveal entirely publicly, but I have Fnatic as sixth best team in the world coming in. So they're deserving of the Pool 1 seed.
Yeah.
I think IG is better than them, but it's not to a point where I don't see Fnatic possibly winning a game against them, right? Yeah. Fnatic in Europe has so many individual outplays. And yes, IG probably better at most of those individual outplays, but in a best of one, absolutely capable of getting a few fights going your way and taking a game.
Totally. I mean, you
just
only need
a quick picture of that.
You only need.
I got it. Who wants it?
Tweet it out. You only need one. Like you say, right? You know, if they're playing a best of seven or something, I think IG wins almost every time. Probably. I actually think IG is. Well, them or Afrika, they're both insanely good pool two seeds. But either way, I think IG is favored, but. Caps has one incredible game, you know, Reckless gets to late one game, takes on a team fight, whatever, then I think Fnatic can win, because I do think they have more of a chance than 100 Thieves do, really, at kind of winning on that individual level. And sometimes that's all it takes, right? If you get ahead enough and you are a team that knows how to close, then one mistake where Caps gets a triple kill or something in an early dragon fight, okay, well, maybe they win that game.
I do want to put a word of warning with Caps. He has amazing potential, but when you look at MSI when he was trying too hard to carry, he had the most deaths in the tournament of any player that was there, and there are definitely moments where he thinks he can do everything and then actually does get himself in trouble. Those are the things he needs to be able to clean up, because Rookie and IG will punish that in a split second. So it's going to be a big proving point for Caps, for sure.
I like that Caps is always ready to take you know, whatever fight or challenge is delivered to him. But if Fnatic are drafting for a late game Reckless, then they have to keep that in check, right? If you know, he wants to go and have these duels with Rookie or the two-on-twos with the mid jungle, you know, that's super exciting for us to watch, and I definitely want to see how those turn out. But they have to keep in mind, for the overall team, like if they're drafting around a late game bottom lane, then don't necessarily
no vein mid
fight every single
no vein mid
game
you're
fight.
Banned from it.
Well, that's one of the main selling points of Fnatic, is how they are a very versatile team, and they will have a game plan and a lineup specifically tailored to beating that team. So That's what they can do with Bwipo, Reckless, Soaz, right? They have kind of three different looks, whether it's Soaz in the top lane, Bwipo in the top lane, or Reckless in bottom lane, or Bwipo in bottom lane. So we don't know what they would think is the best option going up against IG or against 100 Thieves, because as far as those like versatility goes, it's great in the EULCS regular season, where you can pull out these different lineups and then still outperform them and then also have the stylistic advantage. But sometimes when you're that versatile, it hurts you because you haven't necessarily refined that one style enough to potentially take a game off the best team. Either way, though, anything else to say about this group?
You're feeling pretty good, I think.
It's a good draw for Fnatic. I think it's a decent draw for Fnatic. It could definitely be better, right? But I think the fact that they're unlikely to get a stronger fourth team in here, they should have a pretty good chance of getting it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about as good of a group as you can get. Like, IG, you know, obviously is incredibly strong, but them getting in there means you're blocked from getting EDG. I think that 100 Thieves is one of the weaker on the pool two teams. So I do think it's a really good shot of them getting out, and that would feel really good after them getting out of MSI as well. So certainly some potential for them, but I do agree. I was kind of joking about the Vayne pick, but when I think about that game and some of those crazy picks, it's like, so well, a lot of people remember, you know, it was against Misfits. He picks Vayne mid, and everyone remembers the play where it's like Han Sama jumping at him at Tristana, and he condemns him out of the air and kills him, right? But like, they were down like 10K, and against a team that played it a tiny bit better, the game would have just ended, and everyone would be like, well, Caps is trolling on that Vayne mid, but everyone's like, ah, Vayne mid is the best.
what's your percentages for this group for percentage that each team would finish first?
I give IG, off the top of my head, like 70%, 80% chance. I think it's really
85, I think, for IG.
Yeah, 70 or 80 for me. Probably, I guess 80.
You go 80?
Yeah.
I go 70.
Yeah.
They're super good. Their 18-1 record actually had a lot of game losses. Even though they'd always win the best of three, they did drop a lot of games in between. So if they go in a little underprepared against even a 100 Thieves game, like, it's possible that 100 Thieves plays spoiler to some of these guys. I wouldn't be too surprised if 100 Thieves takes a game off Fnatic. I'd be a little more surprised if they took a game off IG, but it's something they can do. And even though I don't think 100 Thieves will make it out of the group.
And to speak about, you know, like we talk about, you know, well, you talked about Caps kind of having some of those games where he is going too far and kind of trying too hard. And I think of Jackie Love, and I do think he has some of those games as well. You know, I think back to spring and in playoffs, him like trying to flash forward under turrets and things like this and finish off kills. And, you know, even when he did trade, it was like, ooh, you traded your life out when you're full health and you use a summoner. So there are times where he goes too far. And I think that, you know, anytime you have really young players and you're bringing them on this stage with incredible amounts of pressure, that can change the way you play and that can mess things up. And I guess the last thing to mention about IG, because we never really talked about Duke, Duke actually did play more games than the Shy in summer. So I'm going to be very interested to see how they actually decide to utilize him, because when I watch IG, I just straight up think the Shy is better. I think that the team performs better with him. But my kind of understanding or my assumption on why they use Duke is they have to give less resources to him. So it's kind of a different look on how you can play the game.
Yeah, I've heard of that a lot too. And in the sample of games that I have seen, the Shy has played pretty well when he didn't have pressure. Yep. And has been able to avoid a decent amount of
ganks.
And he
can play tanks too. I just think he's better, but so, I don't really get why they're playing Duke more, to be honest. But yeah.
I definitely think that Fnatic have a really good shot here, though. And specifically, I don't think people give Broxah a lot of credit, but I think he's been extremely good. And again, since I got so excited about all the old Lee Sin players playing Lee Sin, I looked up all of the jungler accounts in Korea to see, you know, who's practicing it. Mm-hmm. None of the North American LCS junglers I found on their OPGD accounts had Lee Sin games, but Broxah had number one. Even Svenskeren, or at least the account that I found, didn't have Lee Sin games in the top like seven most played champions.
Okay.
But Broxah was number one.
Okay.
So yeah. I definitely want to see him pull it out again.
Broxah's super solid. Hillsong had a great year as well. First team support, playing with really two different bot lane players. He's actually super good. The Fnatic lineup is very talented across the board in the European LCS. We'll see how it transfers into the world stage here. Anything else you want to say about Group D before we wrap this up?
Good luck.
Group stage in general. Who's your favorite for Worlds? Are you both RNG?
I think barely RNG over KT. And I want to feel like I have IG up there. Afrika, that's probably my top four.
Really? You don't have Gen.G anywhere close? Maybe the recency bias, like watching that
Afrika slammed them in playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't know.
They're really good too. It's not that they're not close. That would just be my top four.
Okay.
Gen.G would probably be, I'd probably have them fifth, right? But like, those would probably be my favorites. I think I have RNG as the favorite overall. KT certainly up there, and then the next tier down would probably be IG, Afrika, pretty close, and then maybe Gen.G right behind them.
Did you actually get a picture of my power rankings, or was my hand covering it?
I got a picture.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I'll give you my top six. Okay. You ready?
Yeah. You're gonna spoil it?
Yeah. So I don't want you getting the card.
You can't get the likes for that.
I got to
tweet it.
All right. Top six. I said KT is the favorite.
Okay.
Then I got RNG, IG, Afrika, Gen.G, and Fnatic.
Yeah,
that's top six.
That's reasonable. I think that
y'all just going by the standings of the regional league.
Although tier list wise, I think the top five are the contenders for the world championship.
Yeah,
Fnatic is just outside that, in my opinion.
Yeah. What about TL? How close? Where you got them, Jet?
I can't give you the whole list, man.
I'm just asking for one
it's
more.
It's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
They are one slot below Flash Wolves.
Oh, right now. Okay.
Because I think people underrate Betty.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because...
But I'm watching a lot more VODs after this. We got, like, 2 weeks left before Worlds.
I like your top six, but I do think that, the top five feels like there's a tier there, and then the next tier starts. And Fnatic, I think, is probably at the top of that tier, but I think there's a grouping of teams there that are all quite comparable, and I think TL is in that. I think that Flash Wolves is in that.
I agree.
So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how expectations actually kind of play out, because I do think almost everyone has... I have not heard a single person say anything other than KT or RNG for favorites for Worlds, but we know how that kind of played out with Kingzone last year. Everyone thought Kingzone was going to slam, got destroyed by Samsung.
I asked Flame, he was here to pick the orbs.
Well, I didn't hear that, so my statement remains
he
true.
He said RNG or Gen.G.
Oh, okay. I can respect it.
I mean, they're
returning world champions. Yeah. So I'm sure that some people think that they could win, but overwhelmingly,
I just wanted to say that because Azealia said he had not heard any other options. Now you have heard.
Now you have heard.
That's true. So,
what are your options, Kobe?
I'm on the IG hype train.
Favorites?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. You're bold.
I really. Am super biased for Rookie.
Oh
no, not yeah. I know we can combine our fanboy powers.
Yeah. I'm a fanboy, but I'm not as big a fanboy, I guess.
But yeah, that's kind of like wishful thinking for kind of picking a dark horse, I guess, because everybody is just saying year of RNG. You know, they've won all the international tournaments leading up to it, so that's the go-to answer. And maybe I'm just trying to get outside of that answer.
And IG's just you know,
trying to be a hipster, trying to say, ooh, IG, they haven't been at MSI. Wait for them. They were really close to winning the finals. I think that'll do it for Dive Live Group.
They were, though. They had two exposed inhibitors, dude.
Oh, they got Baron in that game. It was so winnable.
I was hurt or something. He didn't even get to play, and they barely lost in the semifinals.
Let's pull up the brackets one more time for the group for playing and for the main thing. Production is probably like, why is he asking for that instead of asking for the role? But I want to go over them just one last time for everyone watching the show. We will get them very
Be soon. Careful with asks.
I mean, you never know. I mean, I asked for KT to win LCK last year. They didn't do it. I asked for
LCK. Go over them.
I won that set.
Yeah, sure. Right there. Oh, here we go.
Perfect.
This is the play and draw. Never you obviously it. Have the top teams, EDG, G2, C9, and G-Rex at the top of the groups. We mentioned earlier that Gambit is probably pretty happy about that. They're a Pool 2 team in Group D.
Gonna have to watch out for Supermassive as well, who has traditionally been very strong in a lot of these play-in events.
Yep. That's fair too. Basically, Fenerbahce, 1907 Fenerbahce, or was it 1904 Fenerbahce?
1907.
1907?
I didn't say it enough times yeah.
to get it in my brain.
That's burned into my brain.
Yeah. So that's the play-in draw. The group draw, though, which we spent most of the time discussing right here, was
right here. Headlined by Flash Wolves, RNG, KT, Rolster, and Fnatic. Definitely going to be so exciting. It feels crazy that Worlds is already upon us, because I always feel like the year just starts and then Worlds is randomly there. But I'm actually ridiculously excited for some of these games to get going.
Group of Death, RNG, Gen G, and Vitality. Liquid in that group with KT, Rolster, and Mad. And then Fnatic, who we just talked about with Hanapies and Invictus, and whoever comes in from the play-in draw.
Man, the play-ins this year also, I know I'm already going to start getting excited, because last time, Cloud9, they didn't drop a game.
But are you nervous this time?
This time, going to build up even further. I always get super excited for Worlds, even though you know, all the LPL and LCK fans are like, you're stupid. Why are you getting excited? Every single year, you guys are not as good. I'm like, I know that we're underdogs. That doesn't mean I can't still get excited. Underdogs are allowed to also get excited.
It's
just
more
because
fun.
You're an underdog doesn't you're mean excited. You're a loser, Kobe.
Exactly.
An Albus Knox Luna
Except
support
unfortunately,
once said that.
We are usually the loser.
But not this year. not I will not year. Stand for it again. Nobody knocks NA out of groups. How many years?
8 times in a row?
Yeah.
It will not happen.
All right. So please join us for play-in October 1st. Our coverage starts at 1 a.m. Pacific time. We got some other stuff that I want to let you guys know about as well. We'll be doing a World's Top 20 show. So same panel as last year, ranking the World's Top 20. This year, we're doing it after play-in. So that's going to be at 10-8, so October 8th at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And the next Dive episode is going to be after the group stage, which is going to be airing on October 19th. Group stage starts obviously before then. The Dive is after the 8-day-long group stage. So it's time for Worlds. It's going to be help. Hype. Thank
it's
you guys
gonna
for joining
be help.
Us. It's early on in the morning right now. You guys did a great job. This is going to be fun.
You did a great job.
See you, Worlds.
Good job, everyone. You too.
You're helping.
I should work on these outros a little bit more.
I think it's more